Now we're live. Oh, that one. I have no idea what happened. Sorry, guys. Been having technical difficulties for the last 4 minutes trying to get this thing to go live. So apologize for being tardy. Mr. Gibbs didn't mind. He had a few extra seconds of study time to get himself, get himself familiar with the topic. This is brand new for him.
Right.
So how you doing there, Mr. Gibbs?
I am doing well. I've got a million boxes around this house up here and lost everything, it seems. I can't find a thing. So I
pulled that's the downfall of moving.
Yeah.
See, when you move, you realize how much stuff you've accumulated. And number two, you realize how much stuff you really don't need.
Yeah, exactly. And my wife is frustrated because 3/4 of the stuff that's all over the place will go into my office or my game room once that is built. So so she has to put up with my books and my prostitutions and all that jazz. But,
right.
But, and living out here is not for sissies, man. I mean, we, you know, just to, you know, walk down the well to run the generator and trimming the stuff around the house, and
you're back in the late 1800s, man.
Yeah, but no, we're coming up here
with the exception of the internet. So
yeah, well, and that even wasn't an option until about 6 months ago for this area. So it was one of the things that made me say, okay, it's time to go. Now they got internet.
I heard that.
Yeah, but so my desk is in the living room right now, and I did a show on Sunday night with Alan Myers, his For the Republic show, for 2 hours, and my wife goes to the bedroom, and she's bored because the TV is in the living room, and so I actually went and got a TV for the bedroom for now, so when I'm on the air or something, she has something to do. Right now she's outside doing work, she's trimming and stuff. But it's a different world. It's a different lifestyle, and we love it. One of the things we loved is we were in town at about 5:45 yesterday, you know, rush hour. Mm-hmm. I think it was 12 vehicles.
Yeah. A whole lot different from Southern Riverside County.
Yeah, so the traffic's better. We live in a very conservative area. You know, just matter of fact, we just got back from taking a look at a Jeep. I'm looking at possibly buying a four-wheel drive older Jeep because this dirt road is going to kill this little Toyota RAV4 we have. We've already had to do the front end once to fix a bunch of stuff up and the rack and everything else because of these roads. Mm-hmm. And it would not survive every day going up and down this dirt road. So I'm trying to find something that's rugged and kind of designed for. So it's manual transmission, four banger, Jeep, four wheel drive. I was just looking at a little while ago. Yeah, get myself an ATV, stuff like that. But anyway, enough of my silly stuff, and glad everybody is here. So I have the page up. And it's not showing the show, but Safira says, welcome back, Mr. Gibbs. Good evening, gentlemen. So apparently they are seeing something. I'm not.
You're not seeing what?
Yeah, let me refresh the page. Maybe that's it. Okay, there we are. All right, we are there. I had to refresh the page. What I like to do is I like to pull up our video feed so that I can kind of see. Yeah. Okay. Now I see it. I had to refresh the page. But anyway, so good to see you. And also the chat shows up there. But better. But anyway, Redneck Shark says hello. And Safira says hello. And I am jazzed to be on the air. This is the very, very first episode. So there's a lot of people also from my Constitution classes who got my email, who might be joining this for the first time. So well, for those of you, go ahead.
I'd say that there probably are because we have typically at this time, you know, this is a more of a slower class, and we've got quite a few in the audience. So I'm assuming that there are some that are here that aren't paying or that aren't participating in the live chat. So if you are new and you're on Rumble, there is a live chat option that you can participate with other people in the class. So if you so choose.
And this show will keep on going. And then once I've still got another week or two of getting some stuff organized before I can get my Thursday night. But at Thursday nights at 6, I'm also going to do a class. Well, and let me tell a story real quick. And I don't know if I told it here or not, but we're probably going to have a Thursday night also like we did with Vista. The Vista class, every Thursday night, 6 class, we did a Zoom. And folks would come in on the Zoom to watch it. And that was great. I'm not a fan of Zoom. I didn't like certain particulars, but it worked. And a lot of my people down there in Southern California who have been wanting to continue the classes, they appreciate the classes that I did down there in Southern California. And they're asking, well, where are the options for online now for you? So I told them about today, Tuesday night, before we even moved. And then Thursday, well, I would like to continue that Zoom, but instead of it being Zoom, do something with StreamYard.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I have the ability to connect up like a my phone to my Rodecaster, and I can like take inbound phone calls. So there would be maybe the thing where we could do is we could do it like almost like a talk show. If you wanted to do something like that, we could do it like a talk show where we just field calls. This be more of like an outbound educational, and then that one be more like an inbound question.
I was looking at Thursday nights, I wanted to make it more like the actual classes. So I want to have my board up and all sorts of stuff. I was going to put up a second camera. Problem is I can't find the cord now that connects my monitor to my computer from my big computer. So that's a minor setback at the moment. And people say, well, Doug, are you going to do classes up there? If you did a class up there, you know, you ought to live feed that. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do live classes anymore. My roofer, or one of my potential roofers, came out and gave me an estimate. We got talking. He says, well, you know, are you retiring or, you know, you moving your job? I said, well, you know, and I kind of explained what I did, and including the constitution class. He says, oh, you've got to do one up here. I'm like, excuse me? He says, he's like, dude, this is the state of Jefferson.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's like, there's a lot of patriots here, man, and they don't know the Constitution. I would come to that class. And in fact, my company will sponsor it if you do it. And I'm like, huh, I might be doing a class in Brookings.
Nah, the truth, you know, you're right. It is the state of Jefferson up there. And for those of you who don't know, there's an area that in the northern part of California and in the southern part of Oregon and kind of in the extreme western edge of Nevada and Idaho. Thank you. Where they're just, I mean, those people there are like, I mean, they make ardent patriots look like softies. I'm serious. I mean, the mountain men of the Pacific Northwest are extreme patriots. I mean, on a whole nother level than anybody could probably understand.
Right. And that's where I'm at.
If I'm wrong.
And that's where I'm at. And it's funny because the town, unincorporated town south of Brookings is called Harbor. And you see some tents and some homeless there. You don't see that in Brookings because they don't put up with it in this town. Just saying it that way. They don't put up with it here. Brookings is a whole different ball game. It's a super conservative area, and I, you know, I'm in paradise. So, you know, I would show you the scenery, but the light would probably not be right and all that. But I'll get some pictures eventually, and I'll put them up sometime. We'll do a screen share. But anyway, so I'm glad to be here. Even though my base of operations is a little bit further north. When I say I went to Oregon, people think, when they think of Oregon, they think of Portland. The rest of the state is not Portland.
Mm-mm. Or Eugene.
It's very, very conservative where I'm at. Chris Ann Hall, I remember I talking to her a few years ago about possibly moving to Oregon. She says, wow, California's got to be pretty bad if Oregon's a better alternative. I'm like, well, I'm not going to Portland. But anyway, so I'm excited about being here, and this show will continue. We're going to get something going on Thursday nights, and also Warhamster and I have been doing videos, and so if you right now they're all on his channel. So if you go to his Rumble channel, it's War_Hamster. Then you can see he's got a bunch of stuff there, but there's something that we're doing called the Refederalist Report. I think we've done 5 or 6 episodes, and we've talked about the Judicial Act of 1789. We're going to do we're not, yeah, 1789. And we're going to do the Militia Act of 1792 is going to be our next episode. We're probably going to do it in the next day or two.
Listen, I want to put some on your radar screen, because I did a show with it was almost a 5-hour show where we talked about the 14th Amendment, and there's a guy named Bruce Ray Riggs who came on, and he basically did the presentation, and he has a website. I'll send you the website, and you can go through all the stuff, but you know. I sent some of it to Brady, and he was like, yeah, I think his premise is off. But, you know, I mean, I sat through all the entire time. I sat through it twice, actually, because the first time we did it, the connection was garbage. That was 3 hours. And then the next one we did was like 4.5. So I've sat through it twice and listened to it. And I don't know. I mean, there's he seems to have a lot of elements that I think are right on point. And number two, you know, there's a lot of people who are talking about the 1871 incorporation thing. And I'm actually more of the opinion at this point that the 1871 thing really is kind of code or codified in the 14th Amendment. Looking at some of the stuff that he talked about, I see the changes and things that they made from a government structure and whatnot. I think that's all.
Well, the 14th Amendment and what happened with the federal government after the war between the states definitely made us more of a national government and less of a federal republic. Mm-hmm. And that was the goal. And I tell people, we went from the United States are to the United States is at that point. And so I'm not going to disagree that the 14th Amendment was an egregious thing in many ways. That said, a lot of the problems with the 14th Amendment is not how it's written, it's how it's been interpreted. And, like incorporation, for example, and, incorporation doctrine being a very dangerous doctrine, it was not intended. And it's created an allowance for this national control. Now that all said, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. 14th Amendment is got some good stuff and bad stuff. And that's something we can go over in the coming weeks. I am curious. Definitely send me that information. When it comes to 1871 was more about the federal city of Washington, D.C. than it was anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't really buy into any of the, we're a corporation or any of that. And I've done a lot of research on it. That also is a discussion for another time. But my shtick is the original intent of the Constitution. There's a lot of discussions out there that I may or may not be in agreement with. I'm privy to a lot of it, but I usually don't get in those discussions, because those discussions are for guys like, you know, fill in the blank, Alex Jones or whatever. I am not someone who kind of delves into that very much because of who I am. I worry more about the original intent. Thank you for that link. I spend more time original intent. That's my concern. That's where I spend my time. And I'll let the other people argue over whether or not that stuff is valid. My goal is to get us as close as we can back to what was originally intended, period. If there's been some missteps along the way that conspiracy theorists or conspiracy factualists, depending on how right it is, want to argue about, great, knock yourselves out. My main thing is we need to get back to the original intent, and I want to explain what that is. How to get there is a different game, and I have some opinions but most of it is, I want you to understand where we need to be, how we get there. That's for the other people. I don't spread myself too thin, and I don't go chasing after things that interfere with my ministry of teaching original intent. Now, that said, I want to give a little history today. This is more of an introduction. I'm not going to really get into the actual language. I might get into the preamble, but I really wanted to get into what led to, what brought us to this point. And, you know, it's funny because we live in a very interesting time, and it reminds me a lot of the time period that led to the American Revolution. We've not only got a federal government that has become King George III in the British Parliament.
On steroids.
On steroids, absolutely. And that's, but we've also got some of the other games.
Can I pause you there for a second, Doug?
Cause go ahead.
A lot of people, really, I don't think a lot of people really truly understand. The government of England was bad, but it was nothing in terms of, from the government of England was tame compared to the federal government of today.
Well, and corporatism, for example, is mercantilism, which is what the British were pushing, but it's worse. And the reason why it's worse is not only because of the communist angle, but also because of technology and a few other things. We are dealing with a very dangerous situation. And it's funny because over the last few weeks, I've been saying something, not that I'm saying I predicted anything, but I've been saying something because of history, because I pay attention to history. And people have been asking me about what's going on with this election and all that, and with Trump. And I told everybody when it came to the debate, because everybody's like, well, they're going to replace Biden. I said, no, they're not. I don't think they're going to replace Biden. They can't, because they have painted themselves in a corner. They can't beat Trump with anybody else. Even with the cheat.
They can't beat Trump.
And they think, well, from their point of view, they think they have a shot with Biden because he's the sweet old man who comes across as a moderate. That's none of it's true. Remember, everything, every time they open their mouth, it's a lie. That's beside the point. Everything's a production. But, you know, people asking me, well, what do you think's going to happen then, you know, if they don't replace him? I said, they've got to get rid of Trump. I've been saying this for the last two or three weeks. Ever since the debate, their only hope in their minds is to get rid of Trump. They have to get rid of him. And yeah, then the assassination attempt happened. I said, see? I said right after that happened, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I just want you guys to understand what's going on here. This was a 20-year-old kid does not get past the Secret Service and law enforcement up on a building, leave a ladder there, and get noticed and somehow still get some shots off, unless there was some inside help. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but there's a conspiracy here, and it's all over the place. This party or segments of this party, when I say party, I don't necessarily mean just the Democrat Party, but the leftist regime, which includes some Republicans and independents, so on and so forth, they targeted him, and they tried to make it happen. By God's grace, Trump's head had turned in just the right way that bullet grazed his ear. I am a firm believer it was an inside job. I'm a firm believer that kid had been chosen and been helped. Now, that said,
Did you hear the part where he was in that BlackRock commercial and then
I heard that part. And the building that he shot from, that was a staging area for the cops, that building. They were inside. But anyway, so there's all kinds of stuff, and we can get into that some other time. But I just want you to know something. They are desperate. They know the Trump train is getting ready to run over them, and they are desperate. This is not the first attempt. I mean, the only attempt. I mean, this is only the first attempt. They desperately want to take him out. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't want to get into a long conversation about it, But history shows that when tyranny is on the march, the opposition that the people rally around has to be removed. And they are every time. This is, we are all hands on deck. We must make sure that we follow through and finish this. I will not and do not suggest violence. The founding fathers did not start with violence. They tried to appease the parliament and the king. The violence came because Britain brought it. If there's going to be violence, it'll be because the Democrats bring it. We need to make sure we do this right. Now, that said, they start it. We need to finish it. But but that's a discussion for another time. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is not the only attempt. And, you know, and here's what's really messed up for them. Not only did they miss and Trump survived, he got stronger and more popular than ever. That iconic image of him throwing his thumb up, then his fist up and saying, fight, fight, fight. That is an iconic moment that in true history will be 100 years from now should be remembered. That was a very interesting moment because what it did is it just ensured his election, even with the fraud. They are desperate. They are freaking out. They don't know what to do.
You are you familiar with the Q drop? I think it was a 2190 or whatever we're talking about.
I saw something about that. Yeah, I don't follow this stuff real closely, but I've seen something about it the last day or so. Anyway, all right, but I'm not here for that. I did want to get kind of that soapbox moment out because I agree with just about everybody let's go with this. Ronald Reagan, when he was shot by Hinckley, his popularity went up like 15 to 17, something like that points. Just saying. Okay. Now, the war hamster is in the chat. Betting markets reflected a swing within 10 minutes of Trump's fist pump. Exactly. All right, but I'm not here for that. Let's give a little history about what led to our Constitution, our revolution, and all of that. Because, you know, it's funny because Mark Twain has one of my favorite quotes, which is history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And I think that's exactly right. We see history repeat itself, but not in exact, of course, in exact step with itself, but it does rhyme. There is the same tendencies. Tyrants use the same playbook every time. Tyrants, tyranny, the collectivists, I mean, we can, you know, throw out all kinds of names out there and be repetitive. They use the same playbook every time. And what brings down societies every time is their antics, their mismanagement of the economy, the immoral attitudes and normalization of immorality in the society, all of that. It's the same playbook every time. We're going through exactly the same thing that Egypt went through and Babylon went through and Greece went through and Rome went through and even the British Empire went through. France went through. It's the same playbook every time. And now it's our turn. And we can even get into, you know, some other societies and civilizations. And the founding fathers were students of history. They recognized these cycles. When they wrote the Constitution, it was designed to guard against those cycles. So the best way to avoid the problems we're having right now is to get back on target with what the Constitution says. Douglas Melvin asks, have wondered, how long did it take to get the wording for the Constitution finalized as we see now? It was, okay, let's break that down. It was written in committees. So it's not like they just sat down and, hey, let's write it out. Okay, there was committees. So each section was written by committee. It was voted on. It was reworded. It was discussed. It was debated on the floor. Then it would go back to the committee. The committee would come up with something new, and so on and so forth. The final language was being debated all the way up to the last week before they actually submitted it, or it was allegedly signed. And when I say allegedly, we get these images when it comes to Declaration of Independence or the Constitution with all the guys standing around signing the document together. And that's not necessarily the case. A handful of them signed it because they were there, and then a couple of guys show up later, a couple of days later. I mean, some of these guys didn't sign it for weeks. That said, the copy that wound up going out to the states, let me make sure I have the date right here because I don't want to mess up on the exact date.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, the date that actually went out to the states. They dated it September 17th originally, the document that the it was done, but it actually didn't go out for another week or two, and I don't have it in front of me. I thought I did. They also had a stylist, someone who went in there and said, okay, this is great, but for style, it's better if it says this word. They even had to debate that. They had a styles committee. But the final wording was within a week or two of when they actually sent it out to the states. Didn't take long because the committees had kind of finalized each section on their own with the along with the floor voting and approving. So, but once again, it wasn't just written out. People imagine someone standing there and writing it like Jefferson did with the Declaration. And the Constitution was really written through committee. If that makes sense.
Yep.
All right. And get back to my original point before I decided to and please put your question stuff in the chat room. I'm not complaining. That's a good question. Please do. And I will try to address any of them if they are legitimate. Now, if you ask me something silly, like, you know, well, I won't even put something in your head, but, you know, then that's different. But if you've got a legitimate question, please throw it at me. I'll do the best I can. Now that said, you're welcome, Melvin. Now that said, we've got these guys studying history, and it's not just studying history; it's their own experiences. Did you have something for me, Ron? You got this.
I was teasing you because you said that said like four or five times within about a minute. So I was
I know. Yeah. Now I'm really gonna start messing with them. So that said. I may do this now on purpose. You know what you opened yourself up to. All right. Anyway, so the Founding Fathers, they were students of history, but they were also students of their own experiences. They had gone through, number one, as colonists, the tyranny that they're trying to guard against. They want to create a government that wasn't what they knew exactly what they didn't want. They just dealt with it. But also, they had their history as colonies. The Pilgrims. Jamestown, the Great Awakening, and why that emerged and why it was so important. They saw that we have a virtuous society. It was all important. And so they studied this. And in these committees and in the writing of the Constitution, this was all taken into account. My wife, one time, she says, well, it's like these guys could tell the future. How did they do that? They weren't telling the future. They were telling the past. It turns out the future acts a lot like the past.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Future.
So, and so these guys, and you know, and I've heard people say this before, and this is so important, how awesome it was that we had so many brilliant men around all at the same time.
Yeah. There was a lot of them. But
they lived at the same time in this time to work together. That almost sounds, I don't know, like divine providence. Just saying. So we've got now. We've got this. Go ahead.
You don't think that we have a lot of really good men today? I would be willing to bet.
I think we do, but something interesting on how God operates. Sometimes He doesn't give us good men to do the good job. Sometimes He gives us the right men to do the job. Trump's a great example. I don't think he was necessarily a good man originally. If anything, he was rough around the edges. But boy, I tell you what, he was the right guy. And I think he's recognizing God's hand in what he does more and more each passing day.
Well, I don't. Did you see the video from the bald guy who the video from like April when he came out and he said that Trump was going to have an attempt on his life and the bullet was going to graze his ear and cause his eardrum to explode or something like that? Did you hear anything about that?
No.
See that? Yeah. So. Yeah, this guy was like he was saying that God was talking to him in a dream, and these were things that he had articulated as a result of his vision that he had. And, you know, he said that he saw an attempt on Trump's life and that he was going to get the bullet was going to go right by his ear and cause his eardrum to explode. that was very interesting that he said that in April. So anyway.
In November, Tucker Carlson said there would be an assassination attempt, and I love the way he worded it. And he was mocked for it. And it definitely came to be. And the way, and I'm going to pull it up real quick because I think this is important. I have it on my site on something that I had written, and so I'll pull it up real quick. But Tucker Carlson... the way he put it was brilliant. So, come on up, baby. I don't have my second computer, so I'm doing everything on this computer. So, until I figure out where
is it on political pistachio?
Mother. Now, I've got it. It's just a matter of.
Is it on political pistachio?
Political pistachio, yeah. Yeah, so here you go.
Okay, so
if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest. Then you go to impeachment. Now you go to indictment, and none of them work. What's next? Graph it out, man. We're speeding towards assassination, obviously. They have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided, that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have him. That's what he said last November. And that was brilliant on how he put it. You start with the criticism. What'd you think was going to happen with all of the rhetoric? Now, and I want to be careful here, because I don't want to go the opposite extreme. Oh, I better be careful what you say, Doug. You know, I'm not going to do that either. I'm not politically correct, and I understand that sometimes we got to be rough and tough in what we say and how we go about things. But when you start saying someone is the next Hitler, and his followers are the fascists, and they are a danger to democracy, they must be taken out. And you say things along those lines of they must be taken out. Somebody's going to take that to heart and try to do it. First of all, we were speeding towards assassination.
Out there, like from like all the rhetoric, like from people like Chuck Schumer and what's her name? Maxine Waters.
Right.
Get in their face. Tell them they're not welcome.
Punch them in the face. Yeah. But anyway, and not that I mean to get off where I was at, but it's important that we understand this is nothing new. You don't think that this kind of rhetoric and attacks and all that was going on in history, Founding Fathers saw this stuff. It's the reason why they wrote the Constitution the way they did. It's the reason why they have the provisions in there the way they do. I'll give an example, because everybody's all about the immunity thing. And I love how the left reacted to the immunity case. Oh, well, that just means he can do whatever he wants. No, that's the reason why there's impeachment in place. But immunity is the courts, for the most part, got it right. You have to give a president immunity because if there is political division, then he can't do his job because his enemy, his opposition, go after him for everything he did. That said, it doesn't mean that a president can just suddenly act unlawfully while in office. That's what impeachment's for. And if they're impeached and convicted of doing something wrong through that impeachment, that can be criminally gone after they're out of office.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people really probably still don't understand is that impeaching somebody is not the end all. I mean, you have to convict them.
Right.
And impeachment is basically similar in many respects to an indictment. So
yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a charging. And if you remember, the House of Representatives is the voice of the people. The Senate, the voice of the states. Remember, the senators were originally appointed by the state legislatures. And then even then, it goes deeper than that. But we'll get into that some other time. And so you've got the people saying, hey, there's something wrong. But it's the cooler heads of the Senate go, okay, we'll hold a hearing. The cooler heads that have been around a little bit longer, they represent the interests of the states. The senators are going to be a whole different breed of legislator. The two houses were designed differently. The House of Representatives would be a little bit more quicker to the trigger, so to speak, and quicker to jump on idealistic things. The senators, having been appointed by state legislatures and the state legislatures having been built in a manner different than they are today, we get into Reynolds v. Sims and all that, you're going to have a Senate that is populated by cooler heads, guys who have been around for a while. It's almost like a pseudo-aristocracy. And they designed it that way on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because they looked back in history. We don't want kings, but at the same time, we can't have pure democracy. We don't want a pure aristocracy, but we got to have people who have been in the system and have that experience in the system. So you kind of have a pseudo aristocracy. It's brilliant the way they did it. Our republic, our federal republic, has so many checks and balances and different ways of looking at things. I'll give you an example to help you understand why the Constitution was written the way it was. For those of you who have been in a situation where you needed somebody else to look at whatever work you did. Gosh, I think I've got this right, but I'm going to have Ron take a look at it because he looks at things differently. He might catch something that I didn't catch. He looks at it and says, well, hey, man, you got a problem right here. Look, oh, I didn't see that. Why did he see it? Because he's looking at it from a different perspective. A different perspective is a wonderful thing. We know this. That's where the old saying, two heads are better than one, came from. That's what they did with our Congress. We have a democratically elected perspective and a state-appointed perspective. They looked at things differently. Now we have two houses of Congress who are basically democratically voted in, and they're all about the establishment and the system. They don't look at things differently. They don't have a different perspective from each other. And it's fouling things up. That's just one of hundreds of problems we have. Go ahead.
Oh, nothing.
It looked like the wheels were turning there.
Oh, the wheels are turning because I'm trying to navigate with Mike because he's running late. So it's just, there's a lot going on here.
Okay. Yeah, so the behind the scenes. See, that's what happens when you want to be the engineer behind the scenes.
I wear my my emotions on my sleeve, so it's like, you know, I don't have a very good poker face. So
next time you say, hey, you want to play poker? I'm in, buddy.
Yeah, well, we'll be playing, but there will not be any money on the table.
And we'll have to pay for pocket constitutions. All right. Anyway, so but I'm trying to set the stage here so we understand that this Constitution is not just some document. It created a system that was designed with history and what could happen in mind. Here's the difficulty. It only works. It's only as good as how it's being followed. If it's not being followed, it doesn't matter how good it was written. It doesn't matter how good the provisions are if we're not following the provisions. And that's been our problem.
Do the recipe thing, because that's, I mean, when you talk about the uncle recipe, the uncles or grandma?
Well, what he's referring to, the analogy I like to use for this is my dad has a great salsa recipe. And I love it. And I use it. Now, I've tweaked it just a little bit, made it a little bit better. Once word got out that he had this great salsa recipe, it started getting passed around the family. And a couple of years had passed, and one of my uncles, or actually it was a cousin. No, it was an uncle. But anyway, calls up Jerry and says, you know, just want to let you know your salsa recipe sucks. It's like, what? Well, what'd you put in it? Jerry knew immediately that there was probably a problem with how the recipe was being followed. And it turned out that instead of Roma tomatoes, he had put beefsteak tomatoes. And instead of green onions, he had used brown onions. And he didn't know what cilantro was because this particular individual is from Arkansas. And cilantro is not a common shelf item like it is, say, in Southern California. So he looked it up online and it said Mexican parsley. So he put parsley in it. Well, of course it sucked. It had the wrong ingredients. He thought he had it close. He thought it was good enough. But it turned out it wasn't. And it's just like with our Constitution. It may look or sound, the parsley looks a lot like celery. Kind of even feels like it a little bit, except for it's a little rougher. So what's the big deal? It's not the same thing. If you don't follow the recipe to the T, you're going to wind up with a crappy result. And that's what has happened with our Constitution. We're not following the recipe to a T. We've decided that we're going to put lemon juice instead of lime juice and things like that, and we're screwing it all up. But the thing is that what's even worse about it is it's being done on purpose. Because, see, we have a leftist system that says, well, we don't want you to have salsa at all, so we'll make it taste so bad that you'll want to get rid of it. That's what we're up against.
Right. And you got to understand the mindset of the founding fathers when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And it was a different group of founding fathers that wrote the Constitution. But there is crossover, obviously.
Some
again, yeah, there, like I said, there is some crossover. You have to understand their mindset. They literally just got done fighting a war. Mm-hmm. To try to get out of, you know, to try to get out from underneath tyranny. And that is their mindset was they were going to create a government that would be not wouldn't be tyrannical or would be prevented from becoming tyrannical. The problem is that over the course of our 250 years almost, that they have, they've really just, I don't know, they've bastardized it, you know, in so many ways. And they've dumbed down the people. Sure. And they've made amendments to circumvent things that were put in place. So, you know, it is, to these people, it's just like what George Bush said. It's just a fucking piece of paper.
So this piece of paper, which actually was four pieces of paper. As a matter of fact, I have copies of the four panels, huge panels of what the original Constitution was designed to establish a system like nothing that we've ever seen in the world, with checks and balances, a republic, if you can keep it. And it was designed, once again, based on not only their research of history, but of their own experiences and the experiences of the colonies. Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. There were those in the convention and around in America at the time who believed the Constitution was not going far enough. Because, see, as one attitude was, we live in a world of empires. We need to be an empire to survive. And the only way we can be an empire is with a large, powerful government. And so people like Alexander Hamilton, fearful that the United States would be gobbled up by the empires, believed that we needed to be bigger, stronger, and this free market idea was not regulated enough. And so he stuck his nose into a lot of the business. it's funny because during the Constitutional Convention, he wound up being the only representative from his state, New York, because Robert Yates and John Lansing walked out. After 6 weeks of the convention, John Lansing and Robert Yates went, oh, we're not going to fix the Articles of Confederation. We're going to write a new constitution. We're out of here. We want nothing to do with that. Hamilton left with them to convince them to come back. They didn't. When Hamilton came back, he was the lone representative for New York. And he had ideas, bigger government ideas than what the rest of the delegation was discussing. He was allowed to debate, but because he was the only representative for his state, he was not allowed to vote. But because of his importance, or at least his perceived importance at the time, and the fact that George Washington considered him a friend and important to him, he had been his scribe and kind of right-hand guy during the American Revolution. Alexander Hamilton found his way into the administration of George Washington. What's interesting is the position he got, he had no experience for, which was Treasury, the Secretary of the Treasury. It was actually originally offered to somebody else who did not want it and recommended that Hamilton take it. And Hamilton believed that in order to survive, the country needed to be connected to Europe somehow. So he recommended a central banking system to connect us financially, and also a system that was not purely a free market system or laissez-faire like people like Jefferson was recommending. The debates were interesting. In 1789, this was recommended, this central bank was recommended, the debates went on, and let's see, was it 1791 when it was finally approved? And Jefferson argues it's not constitutional. And Alexander Hamilton argued, well, you have to understand, there are some things that are implied by the Constitution, implied powers. Now, the reason why I tell you that story is so that you understand, from day one, there were those that were attacking it in ways that we're still seeing the ramifications of. The Democrats with their interpretation and their implied powers, that goes all the way back to Hamilton on day one. The attacks against our Constitution happened immediately out the gate. So I tell people I have the impossible task. I want to get back to the Constitution. But even the day after the Constitution was put into effect, it was under attack and it was not operating as it should. Then you read letters. You read letters by Thomas Jefferson after his presidency. And a lot of his letters were complaints of how far the federal government had gone from what was originally intended, how bad it was. Interesting thing about Thomas Jefferson is we have pretty much just about all of his letters he ever wrote. How is it that we have all those letters? What he would do is when he wrote a letter is he would write a copy and put it in his file. So among his paperwork is pretty much all of his letters he ever wrote. And you read those letters and you can see from the 1700s to his death in 1826, you can see the progression from what was intended to something that was horrendously far from what was originally intended, just through his letters. So part of the reason why I know what I know is because I've read a lot of those letters, I've read a lot of those original writings, and I've watched that process. What we are experiencing today has happened already. During the Adams administration, and I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, they weaponized the judicial system. They went after their opposition. They actually passed an Alien and Sedition Act that outlawed speaking out against the administration. Samuel P. Chase, one of the Supreme Court justices, when going after a newspaper reporter by the name of Callender, who had been writing just really wild, tough articles against the Adams administration, and Samuel P. Chase being a ally of the Hamiltonians and Adams at that time. When Colander was arrested, jailed, and fined for his anti-government writings, and it worked its way up to the Supreme Court because he fought it all the way up to the Supreme Court, Samuel P. Chase said, we need to get this rascal while he's in our court. That's a politicization of the courts in ways that we see today. Mm-hmm. Samuel P. Chase wound up being impeached for it, but not convicted. But for his partisan judicial antics, which is a message out to the judges at the time that if you don't act in an apolitical manner, if you put your political leanings into your judicial duties, you will be impeached. And a lot of that toned it down at the time. But my point is, this is not the first time we've seen this, but it is critical. It is what's going on is very dangerous. And we need to get back to the original intent. So here's what we're going to do. I gave you some background here. I want to give you a little bit of an introduction. Also, I want to give people a chance to not, you know, I missed the first show. Don't worry. He's not going to do the preamble till next week. Next week, we're going to start with a preamble. And we're going to work our way line by line through the Constitution. We've done it here before. Some of you are new. Some of you have gone through it with me with my classes in Southern California. Some of you here. Some of you in other places. I want you to try to be here for every episode. If not live, watch it later. I want you to make sure you hit the like button, subscribe button. Make sure that you hit that bell. I don't know if it's a bell here or what it is, a rumble, whatever it is. No, to make sure you get.
I don't think they have that. They don't have that issue with Rumble. That's strictly a YouTube thing.
Well, make sure you pay it that you're here because
I shouldn't say that. I think you do have the ability on Rumble to turn on or turn off notifications. I don't know if that's within the app or it's different than how YouTube does it.
Okay. Whatever it is, you make sure you're here because I want you to go line by line with me through the Constitution. Now I'm going to ask one more thing. This is not required. This is a request. When I was teaching my classes down in Southern California, I asked everybody to put $10 into the bucket for each session to help pay for my efforts. If you want to do that, say, you know what? This is worth 10 bucks. DouglasVGibbs.com, hit the donate button. 10 bucks. You don't have to. Not required. I don't have a subscription fee here. But if you feel it's worth it, throw 10 bucks my way. Help fund what I do. DouglasVGibbs.com is right there on the screen. We are going to go line by line through the Constitution. They usually notify about 5 to 8 minutes late, says Safira. Well, that's okay. I'm usually mumbling for about 10 minutes anyway, so you're good. seriously, I want you guys here every week. And here's the other thing I want you to do. It's very simple. Tell others about it. Hey, man, there's this guy that goes line by line through the Constitution. You want to know the Constitution? This is where you need to be for it. That's all I ask. Be here. Bring someone else here. And if you feel that it's important enough, throw a $10 donation my way for each session. That's all I ask. DouglasVGibbs.com. We have like 1 minute left. So any final words from you, Ron?
No, I'm good. I'm just waiting on, as it looks like Mike is going to be on time, but he's still not here yet. So I'm
all right. So let me go ahead and close it out and I'll see you guys next week. We're going to hit the preamble running next week. Tell everybody, Doug's starting on the preamble next week.
Lord
United
willing. Lord willing.
Lord willing. United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America, my friends. God bless you. Thanks for spending the time line by line starting next week.
And this will be this is going to be like, what, my sixth or seventh time through the Constitution with you?
Yeah.
So I've done this once or twice.
And he's still learning stuff.
And I'm still learning stuff. So that should tell you something right there.
Well, I tell you this. I do enjoy having the show with you because while you for the most part, play a very quiet host, sometimes you throw in stuff or questions that I really do appreciate. and you there in the chat room, throw the questions my way too. I have no problem answering them. And also be aware that I'm going to start increasing what I'm doing online as I start emptying boxes here at my new place in Oregon.
Yeah, you can pretty much set your alarm by, as of right now, we are still doing 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern for this time slot on Tuesdays. That may change, that may not change, but as of right now, that's where it is. If it does change, we'll probably give you at least a two-week head start. Right. But that's something that Doug and I will have to, talk about. So, but as of right now, it is still every Tuesday at what's up, buddy? Still, buddy, at 4. Boy, can you hear that?
I hear cats. Good thing I got the earpiece in, not my speaker. I might have dogs barking here, but.
Well, Mr. King is here now, so I'm gonna say adieu, and all right.
We'll see you guys next week.
And do you have cell service up there?
Yes. It sometimes is weird, but yes.
Your phone works? Okay. So just because I do, I'll call you and we'll kind of run over some of this stuff, and then anyway, I'll buzz you a little later and we'll chat about it. So
all right. Good deal. Line by line, starting next week, folks.
Exactly. Line by line. All right, everybody. See you next week. And for those of you who want to watch Mike and I talk about last Saturday's events, we'll be talking about that tonight. So but you got to close out of here, then go back to the channel, and then click on the Tuesdays with Mike and Ron. So look forward to seeing everybody there. And I'll see you when I see you. See you, Mr. Gibson.
Ciao.
All righty. Later.
Bye.